UK Dallas Cowboys podcast brought to you by the First and Ten Network and my dog Poppy, who's currently sitting at my feet. We have a win to talk about this week, we'll get into it. But as is, this feels like this is going to be quite a lackluster one. But as is the rule, when we have a win, Rob gets to shout,
"How about them Cowboys?"
Yeah, it wasn't too lackluster, but it definitely wasn't.
He's going to be enthusiastic about it, isn't he?
There he has.
Can't help it. It's his nationality.
Yeah, but also, I don't think it sounds right to press. Give it like, how about them Cowboys?
That's like a question.
It should have been a genuine question. It was like,
how about them Cowboys?
But,
in fact, you should just take the word "about" out and be like, "How them Cowboys?" yes, we beat Washington. The first half, we beat them quite convincingly. And then suddenly, we did what we used to do a lot. And we made them think that they could win. And we also made the Cowboys fan base shit all of our pants collectively.
It was looking like one of them good old fashioned 8-8 Tony Romo seasons for a while, wasn't it?
Well, we were looking like the Minnesota Vikings trying to pull a big loss at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
The Cowboys used to be
like, we look like the Atlanta Falcons. That's who we look like.
the thing is that the Cowboys always are a team that can just pull sort of a loss from the jaws of victory easily. Yeah. And Sunday wasn't any exception.
No, and I think to put it, so I've, for listeners to the podcast, I've just got a new phone. And on my old phone, I couldn't play Magic the Gathering Arena, who is not a sponsor, in case you're wondering. But I wanted to. So with my new phone, I could. And by the end of the second half, I was obviously watching, but I was like, sweet, I'll just keep my eyes open for the highlights and start playing Magic. Then by the end of the third quarter, I had stopped playing Magic the Gathering.
You're like, oh, shit, they're back in this.
And I sat up straight. it was not a fun last quarter.
What I have to say is, how about Micah Parsons? How about Randy Gregory?
Yeah, okay.
How about Diggs? How about Lewis? How about the whole fucking defense?
Our defense were phenomenal. They were. They still were. If you actually look at the scoring plays that we allowed, apart from there was one that was, we almost sort of ushered a guy up the field for them, which was near the end. But other than that, they really were lights out. It was only when they took Heinicke off that they started to get a bit of purchase in Washington.
Yeah, true. And I would say the biggest kind of good change as well was, obviously we've talked a lot about Diggs, but we've had a negative about Diggs, and it was how, you know, he can get interceptions, but he's not great at keeping with his man. And he was pretty good at keeping with his man.
Yes, he was. He was. He only had that one miss at the end at some point in the third quarter for the touchdown, but I mean, you're not going to be on somebody nonstop.
He, fair play to Diggs. He had a bad point in his game, and he was getting a lot of press for the good points. But, you know, his one main job is he was sucking at, and he seems to have gone the work. You know, he didn't have the easiest job. And he, you know, Diggs was by far the most improved player on the team, I think. And he's a good player.
I agree.
Yeah, great. Randy Gregory, good to have him back. Lawrence even turning up a bit at the end, right, looking beastie. He looks like he's put on a few pounds in a good way.
Randy Gregory tips the ball and then gets his own pick six.
No, it wasn't a pick six.
But he tipped the ball and got his own interception. And then we did get a pick. We got a fumble recovery for a touchdown that Micah Parsons created, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was two other turnovers as well.
Gregory got the touchdown.
And to be honest, Anthony Brown could have got two easy interceptions, and Diggs could have got two easy interceptions through that. It would have been, you know, there was a lot of opportunity for our defense, and as much as it was Washington as well, our defense created those opportunities, which I'm going to give him a lot of props for.
I have given Anthony Brown a lot of shit this season, and I would like to say he did pretty good.
I agree.
Yeah, he did pretty good. But unfortunately, Rob is right as always. Micah Parsons, I mean, what can you say? I mean, he's not only Defensive Rookie of the Year, he's probably Defensive Player of the Year, I reckon.
He won't get Defensive Player of the Year. TJ Watt's probably having a better season than him.
TJ Watts plays one position. Fucking Micah Parsons plays any defensive position at a better, higher level than anybody out there.
Yeah,
with the exception of safety or corner.
If he carries on at the rate he's playing, then yeah, he probably is going to be Defensive Player of the Year.
He is actually, I think, the most valuable player on our team at this point.
Yeah.
Right now, this season, I don't think you're too far off. Yeah.
And I think that fucking Dak Prescott needs to get his shit together. He's looking like ass. Like, I don't know, like that pick six at the end, that's the type of play that you expect out of, you know, Kirk Cousins, who's getting, you know, or in, like, a $7.50 an hour quarterback, not a $75 million quarterback.
I disagree with you on that one. Some picks, yes, and before this game, the last couple of games, his throwing's been quite off. I didn't think his throwing was that off this time. And his throwing wasn't actually off. It was going for Dalton Schultz. The difference is he had a player directly in front of him.
He should have read.
No, he should have read it, but he could not see the other defender behind. If you look at the angle where he was, he should have thrown it. No, he should have probably thrown it to the ground. Agreed. But he also...
No, Dak's been playing like shit since he's been injured. I could be wrong in the numbers, but I think he's had like 8 touchdowns thrown and interceptions. It's horrible. He's looking like a $7.50 an hour quarterback, not a $75 million quarterback, as Skip Bayless said this morning.
Yeah.
Since the injury, I don't know. He's still improving. He's still our quarterback. He's still great. He has been rusty since he's been back. But I don't know. I'm not too worried. I probably should be, but I'm not.
I'm gonna argue with you, Rob. Not on your side. I'm gonna argue it, and then spoiler alert: I'm gonna contradict myself. just to fit my own narrative.
Let me just put one thing out there. One thing out there, quick. I know he hasn't had a full team. This is the first time he's had a full team as far as wide receiver core. Prior to that, he had no coaching staff and there was COVID shit going on. And this is like, there's a lot of different things going on beyond his control since he's been back and being injured. But look at quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or even Tom Brady that everybody hates to talk about. That wouldn't be Tom Brady out there doing that boneheaded bullshit.
No, that's where I was going with that, you see. So Dak has played badly. And I've said this. I've said for the past few weeks that apart from the Atlanta game, which hit a few issues, we've played badly since Dak came back off his injury. He's just not been finding a target. He's not been reading it properly. He's been trying to throw too quickly. It's almost as if he's sort of aware that he's still got the ball in his hands and just gets rid of it too soon rather than actually taking his time. And he's got the time now. But that being said, this is a game where our defense gave us the short fields and gave us the points to win. And this is exactly the situation that Brady finds himself in. And he played exactly like Tom Brady played. Tom Brady's not good. Tom Brady does this sort of shit all the time. It's just, and this is where Pats fans and Brady fans end up blowing out their anal beads. But Tom Brady gets all the credit because they win, but Tom Brady does this. He gets the defense does what the Cowboys defense did against the Redskins and give them a short yardage, and then they go away and just do a few dinks and dunks and they're in. And that's kind of what Dak did. But he's a Cowboys quarterback, and he's Dak, so you expect more from him. Whereas Brady is like I said, he's just everyone wants to give him fellatio.
Yeah. Well, hold on here. Dak, we had one touchdown and four field goals with phenomenal field position, and the defense, you know, got the other touchdown. So that we literally had one touchdown on good field position to get kick field goals. Brady turns those into touchdowns every fucking time.
No.
No, he does sometimes. I think the difference is, though, I love, by the way, Bill, 10 out of 10 for us always being able to somehow shit on Brady. Love that.
Yeah.
But apparently
he likes that too.
The difference with Brady, and I'm always going to sound like I'm giving a compliment, but I shit on him all the time for, you know, being a famous quarterback that never throws the ball more than 15 yards. But it really works. And I think if Dak had done a bit more shorter, quicker plays, it might have been a bit better. I think, you know, he wasn't doing long bombs, but he was. We didn't do too much. You know, we should have done a bit more screenplay, I think.
The screens weren't working. What he should have done, and he seems to have neglected it, is he should be just sort of passing off to Schultze as the sort of check down, but he wasn't doing any of the check downs.
Right through an interception.
The other thing I want to point out, Zeke's obviously hurt. He played like 12 snaps for 45 yards or some shit like that that he's been playing because of his knee injury. And whoever the hell that guy was that was a running back that was our backup from the practice squad, I don't even know who the hell he was.
It's Corey Clement.
Okay.
It's Super Bowl winning running back Corey Clement, who won the Super Bowl with the Eagles.
And what has he done since? Not a damn thing.
No. He's awful. But
he's no Tony Pollard, is he?
No, hell no.
But let's go back to when we signed him, and there was an entire new Philadelphia newspaper. I mentioned it before, but it still makes me laugh. Who basically did a whole like paragraph on how Corey Clement was now a traitor to Philadelphia because he signed for the Cowboys, and the only way he could make it up was if he performed terribly. Like when, what's he called? Like when Murray went from us to him.
That was brilliant.
They were like, the only way we won't hate him is if he does what DeMarco Murray did to us. He was like, otherwise he's dead to us. And the thing is, this wasn't like an Eagles fanzine. This was like the Philadelphia, like, city paper. Like, which I just love that. Fucking love that. Mm-hmm. The hate is strong.
Well, they weren't too far off. He wasn't great, was he?
No. Well, shit for us.
I tell you what, I did like. I didn't like it. You know, Tyron Smith came out, but we didn't seem that affected. We kind of Steele went in, and it was all good. I was worried that Lyle Collins then got himself ejected as well.
I think we might lose him for a game.
Yeah, we've definitely not got Tyron Smith next week against the Giants.
Yep.
But I think we're probably going to lose Lyle Collins for at least one game. For doing exactly what I think he should have done anyway. And I was having the argument with the missus, and I was saying that's what he has to do. He has to go over and do it. And she's like, yeah, no, but he shouldn't be. I'm like, no. He has to make the other team think twice about hitting the quarterback hard. That's what he's
right.
That's what he has to do. In fact, Mike McCarthy said the same thing, and I'd be absolutely effing surprised if, when Lyle Collins gets his fine from the NFL, it's not paid for by Dallas Cowboys
Jerry Jones
rather than himself.
Oh, for sure. You know what they should do if Lyle Collins is suspended for one game? Which I think at this point it's 50-50. It could go either way.
I think he'll get suspended because of the drug thing early doors. He's already been suspended this season, so I think they'll definitely hit him with it because he's already had a suspension this year.
So, okay, well, so when we miss him and Tyron Smith, who's going to be there? We have, obviously, Steele.
Knight and Steele.
Oh, Do we?
Do you know? I'm not so sure if we still have Knight, but he's practice squad. We have.
We better.
I thought we let him go. I thought we lost Knight.
Is it someone like?
I thought we did let him go.
Phil Lower.
Oh yeah.
Phil Lower.
Fuck, you know what we need to do? Just suit Zeke up as an offensive lineman since his knees busted up anyway. He blocked enough for.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. I'm going back to Tyvon Smith. I'm going to make this a call here. I'm saying he retires at the season.
Ooh. I agree. I bet that's 100% accurate.
And if he retires, a fucking hero.
He's not that old, but yeah, he has sort of. I can't remember the last time he's done a full season.
No, he's got to start for himself. He's got.
Or we trade him to like, the Vikings, where he just completely just is out like nine out of more than half of the season, and we get some baller ass draft picks like a second round.
Tell you what, with how bad they're going and how badly they need an offensive line, right?
Right.
I bet we get like a first round pick for him for the Lions.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine that? First round pick for a guy that's basically going to start four games. In fact, he'll be great in those four games, or maybe not.
No, because they'll put, for Tyron Smith, they'll put on one of those clauses like Carson Wentz is under at the moment.
What's that one again? If he gets so good that they'll get additional picks.
Carson Wentz. So the Eagles get a first round pick for Carson Wentz, but only if Carson Wentz plays 70% of the snaps.
Okay.
If he got injured, and I think if he gets injured, like ideally for Cowboys fans, we want Carson Wentz to get injured now, because I think after one more game, he's almost guaranteed to be 70% snaps, and then the Eagles get the pick.
He's up against the Patriots defense this week, so that is doable.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, he's gonna do it. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's gonna do it. There was actually a website that's the Carson Wentz snap count that the Eagles have run, so they can work out if they're gonna get a first or not. Gives them three first round picks next year.
It's terrible. And like, we're the only NFC team without a decent first round pick.
Well, that's only because we're going to be in the playoffs and quite high up.
true. But then even without that, I think both the Giants and the Eagles have two first round picks currently in the top 10.
Yes.
That's scary. It's not what we need. Saying that though,
Eagles have never been able to draft a player, have they?
But then, look at how we drafted. Like, that's one thing. We give, we give Jerry Jones a lot of shit, but fuck me, do we draft well? Every year we draft well.
Yeah.
And we draft late well. We draft really good players late, and then we get really good players when they shouldn't be picked up. We kept Micah Parsons. We get CD Lamb. We get Dak Prescott in the fucking seventh round.
Fourth.
You know what I mean. But yeah, so I'm not too worried about that, to be fair. Anyway, we're going mildly off topic. We talked a lot about the defense and how they were. We've talked about how Dak was shit on the offense. Any other points on the offense that we'd like to talk about? CeeDee Lamb was a little bit...
utilized differently with his running game, which was kind of cool to see, but I don't like it when CeeDee Lamb runs because he gets hit hard. And
I thought Gallup had a good game.
Gallup's been great. Gallup coming back, because I really want them to re-sign him. They won't be able to afford him, but I've found a newfound love for Gallup again.
Gallup's good. He did have a little ball, but that seems to have gone. And he's actually looking like, Cooper was good, to be fair. Cooper always.
The three of them were great. Now, they didn't do that many yards, but that's because it didn't warrant it at times, or just Dak wasn't on form. But they were all 50 plus yards.
I'll tell you what, though, here's something that we've not said, I don't think, ever. And I know we won the game, but we'd have won that game far more comfortably with Tony Pollard on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hold on. I got another.
Really become a strong part of our
Zeke was too injured. That was one of the. We can give that as one of Dak's excuse. Because Zeke was so injured that we couldn't get the running game going. With Pollard, we would, and Corey Clement was just shite because he's an Eagles player.
Yep.
Hold on. One thing I want to point out really quick is, I know you guys kind of already touched on this. Bill, you did at least. Everybody downgrades Dak, including myself, because of mistakes. But last week, Lamar Jackson threw 5 interceptions, and no one said shit about that.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. But go on. Sorry to interrupt. I thought I had to point that out. That was kind of interesting.
That all depends on the interceptions, though. This is my argument all the time. Now, Lamar Jackson's interceptions might not have been that bad. The 2 Dak threw were bad interceptions.
Yeah.
They were the Landon Collins one was ridiculously bad. That was the early doors one. But the one that actually got returned for a pick six again was just not reading the field properly.
I'm still his field of very blocked, though. I'm giving him a little bit of a pass on that. I definitely am giving him a bit of a pass on that one. Because you just keep, like, he had the biggest, fattest cunt in front of him. Like, you're right, you should have downed the ball. I think he could see Schultz's helmet and he thought, I've got Schultz.
That's one thing I'm going to have a go at Dak for. He very rarely throws the ball away.
Yeah, that's true.
And he needs to. I think he needs to start throwing the ball away. Because he's trying to make a play all the time. And hopefully that's self-belief and belief in the guys around him. But at the same time, just be safe with it, mate. Not all the teams you're coming against are going to be Washington. You know, let's down the ball. Let's throw it to the sidelines.
Because the way we played against Washington, if that had been anyone else, we'd have lost that.
Any playoff team.
We'd have lost that badly.
Yeah, but at the same time, we always end up playing differently to better teams.
Yeah, it's true. We do turn up a bit more. But it's just annoying as well because we've been talking about how we're going to get to that point where we, what the players have been saying about how, you know, they want to get a game and they don't just want to win it. They want to fucking punish him. And we had the chance. We really had the fucking chance.
We could have really fucked him, couldn't we?
Instead of doing those 4 field goals, we would have had 4 touchdowns. There's 28 points. So that you're literally adding 28 minus the 12s, you're adding 16 points on top of what we had. So we had been in the 40s and they would have been in, you know, the 20s.
Well, put it this way. I had the Cowboys defense in fantasy and at one point they were getting me
23 points. I had them in FanDuel. They killed it.
They had me on 27 at one point and they finished on 17, the scoring that I was doing.
Still good. Yeah. I don't know what you're whinging about.
No, it's still good. Defense, anything better than a 7, I'm happy with. But still, they lost 10 points in the second half. That sucks. Anyway, anything else to talk
about? We have a 6% chance of getting the number 1 seed. We have a 6% chance.
I don't.
Bucks have a 42%. Green Bay has a 37%, and the Rams have a 1% chance of getting the first seed.
I can't see how it's 6%. We're only one game behind them, and we'll beat a few of them.
Yes, but here's the thing: if we beat Arizona's also higher than us as well. So we go in and we beat Arizona. Okay, so now we're
ahead of Arizona.
Hold on. No, if we beat Arizona,
we have the same record as Arizona.
Yeah, no, but we've beat
them. So, but we win the tiebreaker.
We beat them head-to-head. We beat the tiebreaker, yeah.
Yes, we win the tiebreaker, but Tampa Bay beat us. So if we get to them, they got the tie. They win the tiebreaker. So Tampa Bay has to lose two. We have to win out, and Tampa Bay has to lose twice. Same with Green Bay. Green Bay also has to lose once, because we don't play them heads up, and it goes by strength of schedule and a bunch of other things. So most likely, we would have to win out. And Arizona would have to lose. Well, Arizona doesn't have to, we just have to beat Arizona, and we have to win out.
Yeah.
But with Green Bay and with Tampa Bay has to lose two games, and Green Bay has to lose one more game, and that might not give us the first seed because they might have a tougher schedule than we had. Or I'm not sure how that goes, and you break down all the different things, if it's points scored, points for. I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, Green Bay would have to lose two, and Tampa will have to lose two, then.
Yes, and we have to win
out. We have to win out. Yeah.
Most likely, that's why the 6% chance comes into play. Now, most likely, I think that we're not going to get that first seed. I think we're going to end up in the second or third seed because I think if we go and we play well and we win out, most importantly, we beat Arizona.
Yeah.
And so, then we'll be second or third seed.
We have an easy schedule now because we have the Giants, the Cardinals, Washington again, and the Eagles. There's only the Cardinals in there that's going to be a problem in my head. And the Cardinals, what we're saying is if we beat the Cardinals, we go ahead of the Cardinals. So that, taking the Cardinals out of the equation, it's entirely of our own doing. So right. So then we're just looking at what Green Bay and Tampa have.
And I don't think Green Bay plays Minnesota, which they've already lost one game. I don't think they're going to lose in Lambeau. So I don't see Green Bay losing two games. And I also don't see Tampa Bay losing two games.
Tampa have the Saints left, the Panthers left. Yeah. Saints left, Panthers left, the Jets left. Ugh. And then the Panthers again. I could see them splitting the Panthers. You're right.
I don't see them losing two games.
I could see them losing one, but
I think the issue here is let's just be honest, we're not going to get first seed.
Yeah.
This is what makes it so great, but also so fucking annoying about the new only one team gets a bye. Don't get me wrong, as a team that's not finishing in the top three, I get it. I actually think it's a better system. As a team finishing in the top three, fucking bullshit.
Right.
Can I just say that the Packers actually have the Ravens, the Browns, and then the
Vikings.
And then obviously then they have an easy one with
Bears or the Lions.
Yeah, it's the Lions. But that's three difficult games for them. I could see him dropping two.
I can see them dropping two. I can even see the Cards tying with us. I just can't see the Bucks losing.
That's going to be the most frustrating of them all, is the fact that the Packers will drop two.
Yeah.
The Cards, we will beat the Cards. And then the Bucks will end up getting that bye, and Tom Brady once again gets a fucking bye.
Yeah.
And then he'll end up playing against the fucking Washington football team or something stupid like that.
Here's what's going to happen. I think as it plays out, I mean, pretty much if we win one game, we win the division. We win one game,
yeah, we
the Giants next week, we're in the division. We just have to win one division game, we win and we own it.
And even if let's just say we somehow lose the division now, we're still getting to the playoffs.
We can loop out and still get to the playoffs in a wild card spot.
Yeah, it's unlikely we don't. We have to beat the Giants. I think one game will win our division, dependent on a result from Washington and Philadelphia.
Yes,
Philadelphia. But they play each other.
Washington, Who is it? I think doesn't Philadelphia have to beat Washington, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, Philadelphia has to beat Washington because of the divisional record. But yeah, Washington will need to win to they would end up on 7-7, and if we won, we'd be on 10-4. So they'd still theoretically be able to catch us, but we would have the win divisional against them, with the divisional win against them. Yeah.
We would have a better divisional record.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing.
If we lose the NFC East, I will sit in my hands and clap. And that is a fuck. No,
and
we're not.
We'll call you Jason Garrett.
Part of me kind of wants to see it now.
Of course. basically, everything's tight. We're probably not going to get number one seed, but it is possible, and stranger things have happened. Like, for instance, Tom Brady regularly kisses his child on the mouth. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just being a dick.
It's just that he's a prick, isn't it?
It's just that he's a prick who kisses his child on the mouth. Yeah,
and that everyone says he's an amazing quarterback, you know, and he's just above average.
Philip Rivers, kiss your kids on the mouth, don't give a shit. But you have got like 38 of them, so you know, take the day off to do it. right.
Let's talk about this for a little bit longer. Let's talk about this real quick. So let's just say if we end up in the four spot, in the four seed, which I don't think we will, but we might, because it's very cowboy-like to happen. And we end up playing the Rams. The first fucking game.
About Robin regarding the Cowboys. Sorry, I completely agree with what you just said, but I'm just not used to it coming from your mouth. That normally comes from mine or Bill's mouth. Sorry, carry on.
But here's the thing. We end up hosting the Rams, which would be fucking atrocious because the Rams are stacked in hell's here.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to play the 49ers either.
I'd pick the 49ers over the Rams every day.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't like to play them either.
Ideally, we would like the Redskins or the football team or the Eagles to get in so we could play them.
Just out of interest, how would you feel if we ended up in the playoffs against the Vikings?
If we won, perfect. If we don't, I fucking hate my life.
I was going to say... Because the Cowboys don't traditionally do very well in the playoffs, and you'd end up against the Vikings, and it would be
Tell you what though, Cowboys Vikings, as the the playoff championship would be, I'd be all over that.
It says a lot that extra wild card spot that Washington's holding is. They're 6-7 with a 5-3 conference record. And then there are Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, and Saints all behind them on 6-7. There's still the Panthers and the Seahawks could get in. Shit, the Giants and Bears could get in if they wanted to. It's still an open division unless you're the Lions.
Yeah. Because remind me, how many wildcard spots are there this year? Is it...
Three.
We would like to play the Saints. That'd be nice if the Saints got in there or the Falcons. That would be beautiful.
Oh, I'd take the Falcons, you know. They don't have a defense. You're right. They're looking at it right now. It looks like it's going to be Rams, 49ers, and then anyone.
I think the Vikings are gonna lose to the Chargers, I think. They're gonna lose to the Rams. They play the Rams. Vikings play the Rams. They're gonna take an L. Which is good for but we kinda want the Vikings to beat the Rams, so they're having a shittier that's a double edged sword.
Anyway, I'm gonna put a stop on this conversation. Because to anyone listening, we're just basically talking
arguing amongst ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
James. Let's just say we're not gonna get the number one seed, and whatever seed we do get, the games aren't going to be easy with the way we've been playing. Do we have the ability to get to the Super Bowl? Yes. Is it going to happen? We're going to have to fucking see. There's going to be a lot of tight-ass moments. And the next few weeks of this podcast are going to get very fucking heated. Getting fucking heated. We play the quarterback fouling, Super Bowl winning pieces of motherfucking shit, the New York cunting Giants.
What an introduction.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this earlier in the year. We hate the Eagles. We hate Washington. Normally, the Giants are one of the lesser hated teams by the Cowboys of the three rivals. But with the way their defense have treated our quarterbacks, and not just hurting them, but going out to hurt them and injuring them and then laughing as they did it, the Giants are purely for in the game. They're my most hated team.
And they sacked Jason Garrett. We didn't even sack Jason Garrett.
Yeah, they got the joy of sacking Jason Garrett. Didn't get Jason Garrett. Bullshit. Fuck the Giants. And my best mate Saunders supports the Giants, and he's a cunt who looks like the missing member of Goldie Looking Chain. So fuck him too. Giants. Saquon Barkley is still a little hit and miss. Their defense can turn up, but it doesn't always. I'm assuming Daniel Jones is still the quarterback, and he is Daniel Jones. I'd like to say I'm not worried I'm going to smash him, but, we give up 20-plus points to a Washington football team that doesn't really have a permanent quarterback. So, I don't know. let's go to Rob. Giants, what are you saying? What are you scared of? What are you liking? Do you think we'll win?
I'm kind of with you on everything you said about the fucking worthless Giants and how they play. They don't play to win, they play to hurt. They don't have much of a team. Look at their record. I'm not too concerned about them. I'm concerned about them injuring our players. That's about it. Long lines of view. I'm going to say we beat the Giants 31-14.
Okay. Confident.
And it's going to be Dak's rebound game, and he's going to look like a fucking $75 million quarterback.
He needs to.
He needs to. But I don't think he will against the Giants. I think he's scared of that defense. What are you saying, Bill?
24-10. I think it's still going to be a walkover. I think our defense is hitting its stride now that it's at full capacity, and the Giants aren't anything. So I think they'll end up getting a cheeky touchdown at the end of the game, much like the Redskins did. But they'll be sat on 3 points for the first three quarters, probably.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't see enough in their offense to worry us.
I see the Giants as a bit of a bogey team. Defense, just hurting us. But also, they're a team that are shit, and they're regularly shit. And even when they're regularly shit, they put out a win against the Cowboys. And I think we might win, but I think it's going to be way more close than any of us want it to be. I think it's going to be like maybe 17-14 to us. Hope I'm wrong. I hope we beat them by 14 plus points, as you two think. I really do. But I can't see it. I think it's going to be tight. But then I thought it was going to be a bit tighter against
Washington. Technically it was.
Oh, no, I wasn't on the last podcast. Who did we play before Washington?
Oh, yeah. Before Washington was the Saints.
We beat the Saints, too.
Yeah, we did beat the Saints. The Saints don't.
The Saints are marching on.
Yeah, the Saints are marching off. um, Okay, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot. I say we don't talk too much about the Giants. Only thing to say is, yeah, Saquon Barkley's fit, I think.
As much as Saquon Barkley's ever been.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's about it for the offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is. So, yeah, well, there you go. We'll talk. You'll hear a lot about the Giants game next week. News around the NFL. Was there anything to talk about? I can't remember the pre-conversation we had.
Demaryius Thomas passed away.
Oh, yes.
He is 33 years old, and he died of medical complications. I would say he's one of the best. I would put him in the class of elite wide receivers in the NFL.
I agree. I think him and a young Emmanuel Sanders were one of the best sort of wide receiver tandems you could ever get.
Yeah.
I would say it probably surpassed Cooper and Lamb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So,
he also wore number 88.
He did.
Mm-hmm. He did? That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was quite classy what the Broncos did, where when they were playing the Lions in the first snap, they decided to leave that one man off the field that was playing the X for the first play. And then the Lions just let them run the clock down and then declined the call. I thought it was classy.
Yeah, that was
as classy as you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they weren't playing Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick wouldn't have done it. Actually, to be fair, the only sort of blot on Demaryius Thomas's entire resume is the fact that he played for the Patriots for a couple of years, before his retirement. I would like to add that I love Google. So looking at I've googled Demaryius Thomas's cause of death, and ignore all of that because none of that's funny. What is funny is where it says people also ask. That means millions of people have to have asked this. And it's the question, how did the merriest Thomas die?
How did the merriest Thomas die?
There must have been millions of people that have asked that for it to show up on my search.
I don't know, depression? That's brilliant. No, that is sad actually. I kind of don't want to go on. I think maybe we should just end that.
We should end it there.
And we gotta have a quote.
We have a quote from Rob,
yeah. Okay. It better be from Demaryius Thomas.
You guys might know this one, and it's not from an athlete. The lack of money is the root of evil.
Oh, that's got to be Donald Trump.
No.
Who do you think it is? You guys are going to shit yourself when you find out who it is. It's Grandpa
Joe Brown from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, it is Mark Twain.
I was closer than a lot of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man! Right. Well, I tell you what. I'm gonna leave you with a quote. I've got a really young housemate. She's only 24, and she has depression like everyone else. And we were talking, and she's a big fan. Do you remember in 1999 the director Baz Luhrmann decided to do a song, and the song was called "Always Wear Sunscreen." And yes. I said a quote from it, and then she said a quote from it, and then her friend, who's like 20, had never heard it. So we played it to her. And I tell you what, listening, I've not heard that song since I was about fucking 15, 16. It came out when I was 13. That's depressing, isn't it? But I've not heard that song.
What is depressing is we used to listen to it in the pub when it came out.
Oh my God. Are you that much older than me, Bill?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were that much older than me. Well, how old are you, Bill?
I'm 43,
42. Oh, you old cunt.
I know. Fuck.
I didn't realise you were that much older than me. I thought you were about three or four. those would be no. Shit.
I'm 37, or I'm 36, about to be 37 in January.
What? I'm the youngest person. I did not realize this is the only thing I do in my life where I'm the youngest person, and that I'm so happy about that right now. We've never actually had ages. I did not realize I was the youngest person on this podcast. I'm so happy. That never happened. I'm the old person in everything I do, or one of the old. Oh, I love that. Oh, thank you guys for making me feel young again.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
You're fucking old.
And now I want to put this out there. If I'm trying to be a little more pessimistic and realistic with the Cowboys this time around. If the Cowboys get to the Super Bowl, I will be there. I'm going. So I'll fly out there, buy a ticket, and go through the whole experience. So we might have to do a podcast live out there.
I mean, mate, sell your Bitcoin and buy me a bill ticket as well, bruv.
Yeah, just to let you know that if I ever had a ticket to the Super Bowl and the Cowboys were there, this podcast was the last thing on my fucking mind.
I would take a lot of pictures and everything else. But it would be fun to do. I would do like a video chat with you guys so you could see like everything going on and shit, you know, on the outside, and you guys can check it out.
Yeah, just don't book your hotel yet, mate.
I already have. Just around, I haven't.
Are you going to go Super Bowl no matter what? Well,
I'll go to the Super Bowl if the Cowboys get there.
Well, how much would a ticket be, you reckon? About $2,000?
If the Cowboys are there, more so.
If the average price of a Super Bowl ticket with today's pricing and everything else, for like in SoFi Stadium, there's 5 levels. To be on the third level in an all right seat, you're looking around $8,000 to $8,500.
Fucking hell.
That's just the ticket.
It's not even worth going to, is it?
Fucking hell. Think of the amount of prostitutes you could have for $8,000, and you're going to waste it on one night watching the Cowboys.
that's pretty. To be fair, that must be that's something. That entire sentence has been said in the Kraft boardroom of the Patriots probably once a season. Completely different context to the Super Bowl, but just thinking, imagine how many prostitutes you can have with $8,000.
That boardroom, they have an actual answer. That's the difference.
The thing is, that sentence is always preceded by one of his lackeys turning up and going, "See, I've got your hair." And he's got hair, $8,000. Imagine how many prostitutes you could get with $8,000. I want you to fill a swimming pool with them.
I've only got you one, but she does the ping pong thing. Right, well, on that note, thanks for listening to the podcast at 10 Cowboys on Twitter, UK Dallas Cowboys podcast on Facebook. Thanks for listening, even if you did manage to get through 20 minutes of us basically just talking. It's going
to
be.
And remember, next time you're listening to our podcast, don't forget a straw, because the Cowboys might suck.
Oh, he's practiced that.
We've had a real change to Rob this week.
He has, hasn't he? But
he's
gone from going to the Super Bowl to Cowboys sucking in the space of $8,000 worth of prostitutes. It's
Rob, I know me and Bill give you shit for being too optimistic, but it doesn't mean we want you to stop being optimistic. Like, it's one of the great things about the podcast is that me and Bill are like, everything's shit. And you're like, how about them motherfucking Cowboys, bitch? Like, we can't have three pessimists on the team. That's a terrible idea.
Like I said, I'm just trying to switch it up because I've always been so optimistic and over the top. Yeah. That maybe like that I switch it up, this will be like, this will cause, you know, this will make big things happen down in Big D.
Ben.
That's true. And also, early on in the season, I was I started being way more optimistic than I normally am.
Maybe we've broken him, though.
Yeah, maybe we've broken him, yeah. But then also, I'm a little bit happier about the Cowboys than I have been, so maybe Rob's rubbing off on me a little bit as well. Obviously, don't tell his wife he's rubbing off on me, but anyway, on that note, thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. RIP, Marius Thomas. And yeah, peace.
See you later, everybody. Oh, and Rob's on this.
Good night.